Palestinians are pushing with a UN draft resolution demanding an end to Israeli occupation, despite warnings by the U.S. that it would veto the measure. The Palestinian Authority has set November 2016 as the deadline for an Israeli withdrawal. In this edition of the debate, we'll discuss the effects of a yes or no vote on occupied Palestinian territories. What appears certain, though, is that Europe has embraced Palestinian statehood, be it non-binding in nature, but more concerned with having the Israeli-Palestine conflict resolved, that is. Meanwhile, it is reported that the U.S.-Israel relationship is at a low. Will that mean no breakthrough until the next U.S. administration?
Jordan will submit a draft resolution backed by the Arab countries at the UN Security Council later on Wednesday. The blueprint document, which was rewritten by France, is setting a two-year deadline for an end to the so-called peace process between the Israelis and the Palestinians. However, the French-backed text has fallen short of touching the issue of Israel settlement expansions on the occupied Palestinian lands. Israel's staunch ally, the United States, has made it clear that it would veto the resolution. Washington says any move in support of the Palestinian statehood will play into hands of Israeli hardliners who oppose the so-called peace negotiations.
Now, clearly, in the beginning of an election and in the middle of an election, it's very difficult and complicated because we believe very deeply that nobody should somehow interfere or do something that might be perceived as interfering in the course of that election.
But apart from the U.S., it seems that patience is running thin in Europe over the issue of Palestine. The European Parliament has announced its conditional support for the recognition of Palestine only if such recognition goes along with the talks for a two-state solution. The Luxembourg Parliament is the latest European legislator recognizing the Palestinian statehood after France, Spain, Portugal and Ireland. Meanwhile, in the West Bank, where Palestinians face daily Israeli aggression, people are supportive of the UN bid.
It's time for the Palestinian people to have their freedom, and it's time for the international community to hold its responsibility towards the Palestinian cause, especially that we are the only people in the world that are still under occupation.
Now the question remains, what would be the consequence of a possible U.S. veto? It seems that a U.S. veto not only adds to the rising tensions in the Middle East, but would further increase the U.S. and Israel's isolation.
Israel has to open its eyes very widely in order to notice the change that is taking place in the Western countries. In fact, those countries who created Israel some 66 years ago. Israel cannot continue violating international law and claim the support of these countries.
Since 1972, the U.S. has vetoed at least 42 resolutions against Israel. Through all these years, Washington has felt immune for its blind support for Israel. But it seems that the tide is now turning and nations will not remain silent in the face of U.S. unconditional support for Tel Aviv's actions.
Our guests joining us for this edition of the debate are human rights advocate Rania Masri, who joins us from Beirut, and the founder of the American Institute for Foreign Policy, Michael Lane, who joins us from Washington. I'd like to welcome you both. Let me get an idea from both of you what your stance is regarding this Palestinian draft that's been submitted to the UN. I'll start first with you, Rania Masri.
Well, the devil is in the details, and I haven't read the draft. I have read commentary on the draft, and I don't find it in the least bit surprising. I find if we look at what has happened since the Oslo Accords back in 1993, we have been repeating the same statement since 1993, which is, in essence, in 2 years, the Palestinians will be given a state. We heard that back in 1993, and every time we notice that settlement, illegal settlement expansion continues, that detention against Palestinian increases, that there is increased tension in the occupied lands, the response by the Europeans and sometimes even by the Americans is not to push for peace, but rather to push for a peace process to maintain the conversation while Israel continues its occupation. And this is exactly what this resolution is aiming to do. The resolution is not aiming to actually create a two-state solution. The resolution is not aiming to work towards peace. Rather, the resolution is aiming to work towards a conversation. Again, in 2 years, we are promised a state with what borders, a state with what kinds of sovereignty. These are all details that are not discussed. Rather, all that is discussed is lots of empty talk, while these same countries that tout these resolutions continue to give military and economic and diplomatic support to the state of Israel.
Michael Lane, do you have a reaction to that?
Yes, I agree with much of what he just said. But let me underscore, I think that this resolution does go further than any other resolutions that have been put before the United Nations Security Council, and that's why the United States government is so concerned about it. I thought your setup piece was very, very good. It touched on all the major highlights, including the fact that there has been a mini wave going over Europe with various nation-state legislatures endorsing, even if they are non-binding resolutions, endorsing the concept of a state for the Palestinian people. But I think this is something that is really what everybody seeks. Even the United States has a stated policy of seeing a two-state solution as the ultimate end goal of the negotiations, where the Obama administration and where Secretary Kerry has articulated their concerns is the fact that the reports of what the resolution says are, number one, that the objectives will be achieved within 2 years, and secondly, that it will be based on the 1967 borders, with no particular references to state security or anything like that. In Secretary Kerry's judgment, who I think has messed up a lot over there, but in this case, he's right. You don't want to have a resolution 2 years in advance that dictates the outcome of the negotiations.
Rene Masri, I understand what you said about how this is just more of a process, more of an engagement, more of a conversation, but you don't think the landscape is a little different with Europe? The European Parliament has adopted a resolution in support of Palestinian statehood that was approved by a motion of 498 votes to 88 with 111 abstentions.
Yes. Yes, but what truly does that mean when they're saying that they approve a state while they continue to support Israel and its settlement expansion? And I beg to differ with the guest. The Palestinians do not want a two-state solution. That is not the objective of the Palestinian people. The Palestinian people, through their civil society organizations, through their refugee camps throughout the Arab world and beyond, have made their demands very clear. They want three things. They want an end to the occupation of the West Bank and Gaza and Jerusalem, as international law demands from 1967. They want a right to return for the millions of Palestinian refugees to return back to their villages, be those villages in what is now considered Israel, as again is demanded by international law. And their third demand is they want an end to the racist institutionalized laws within the state of Israel, including the latest law that was passed by the Knesset, which grants rights for one community, specifically the Jewish community, over and above the rights to the indigenous Palestinian community. Those are the three demands of the Palestinian people. Creating the so-called state over less than 23% of the land of Palestine and denying it any aspect of sovereignty, be it economic, be it institutional, be it military, is not the objective of the Palestinian people. That, rather, is the objective of the European communities, that are European Parliament specifically. Because when we look at these statements that have passed out of these parliaments, be it Sweden, be it the United Kingdom, be it others, they're not really recognizing Palestinian statehood. What they're actually recognizing is the so-called right of Israel to continue as a racist state, because that is exactly what Israel is continuing to do, continuing to exist as a racist state. Human rights activists around the world, we are not satisfied with mere words over ambiguous, arbitrary borders that continue to evaporate every day in front of our eyes. What we want is equality. We are not arguing over borders. What we demand is equality. What we demand is the full buffet of human rights. What we demand is the full implementation of international law. We reject this kind of continuation of negotiation for an ambiguous objective that, as we have been promised since 1993, they continue to tell us this two-year statement. That is not what we want. We want an end to racism, we want a right of return, and we want an end to an occupation. And that is our right.
Michael Lane.
Well, you know, in very, very nice, eloquent words, what I just heard, if I can shorten it up, is what he is saying the Palestinian people want is an end to the Jewish state of Israel. And I don't believe that's going to happen. I don't believe there's any worldwide
yes.
support for that. It's just not going to happen. So now we join the real world and we find out where can we actually come to a solution that will bring peace and opportunity to the people of the Middle East, to the Palestinians. And I think that is the two-state solution that the rest of the world is really focusing on.
Werner Masri.
You know, I have to say that this aspect of we have to be realistic is always what the oppressor tells the oppressed. We have to be realistic and accept political apartheid in South Africa. We were not realistic, and political apartheid did fall. We have to be realistic and accept numerous kinds of economic brutality, and no, we refuse this. If being realistic means that we are treated as lesser human beings than others, then we demand the impossible, and we demand our full human rights, again, as is stated in international law. And I have to say, the international community, many, many members of the international community do stand with the Palestinians in our struggle for human rights and liberation. When we look at the boycott and divestment and sanctions movement, which is arguably the largest growing global civil rights movement for liberation and equality, the demands of BDS are very clear: an end to occupation, a right of return.